The following is a message from the chairman of the Parents Music Resource Center. Here's Dr. Vile Stylus.
Thank you. Many people don't fully understand our mission to protect the innocent from undesirable musical selections heard on radio stations like this. This harmless labeling process, which many record companies have already accepted, will serve simply as a guideline to show you, the consumer, what is wrong and what is right. Well, after we finish labeling the records, we think we'll begin labeling the people who buy these records. These people who are desecrating the purity of the race will be eliminated. Thank you.
And this has been a message from the Parents Music Resource Center. And now it's time for more raunchy rock and roll, so crank it up!
The Parents Music Resource Center, otherwise known as the PMRC, was formed. This committee was founded by four women, and the most popular being Tipper Gore, wife of then-Senator and later Vice President Al Gore. Now, these four women were also known as the Washington Wives, and this was a reference to their husband's connection to the government in the Washington, D.C. area at that particular time. This organization eventually grew to include 22 participants before being shut down in the mid to late 1990s. The Parents Music Resource Center also released what they labeled as the Filthy 15, and it was a list of 15 songs that they found most offensive. So in the honor of the Filthy 15, we opened up the top of this, the second hour of the Mad Mark After Dark show, with a song from that list. Now, censorship is a hot topic for me. And in America, back in the mid-1980s, it was on the rise, and it was ripe for conservative picking. Now, these Washington wives, in my opinion, had nothing better to do than waste taxpayer dollars with meaningless Senate hearings trying to ruin the reputation of these artists who didn't fit into their so-called musical taste. What I find to be the most ironic about Tipper Gore and those other Washington wives is the hypocrisy in their beliefs, that they were advocating for the betterment of a community that they weren't even part of. Better yet, let me control your kids because I can't control my own. Now, throughout the years, political leaders and religious fundamentalists have tried to censor art and music. And this type of censorship is a blatant disregard to freedom of speech and freedom of expression, especially here in the United States of America. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I always am, but this sort of conservative philosophy still exists and is often referred to as political correctness. So in this hour, we will be focusing on music related to this topic, and we're going to lead into the next section of music with a true legendary figure in reggae music, Bob Marley and his band The Wailers, from their 1973 release, Burnin'. Like Bob Marley always says, we need to get up, stand up. There you go.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is that all that Peter is told? After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up,
jump, jump.
Stand up for your rights.
Sick and tired of your ism, schism, game, dine and go to heaven in the Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand, Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes,
But you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
gonna we gonna do? Stand up for
yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You better get
up. Stand up
in the morning.
Give it up.
Stand up for your right.
Stand up right now.
Get up. Stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up. Don't give it up.
Get up. Stand up.
Get up. Stand up.
Stand up for your right.
The PMRC proposal is an ill-conceived piece of nonsense which fails to deliver any real benefits to children, infringes the civil liberties of people who are not children, and promises to keep the courts busy for years dealing with the interpretational and enforcemental problems inherent in the proposal's design. It is my understanding that, in law, First Amendment issues are decided with a preference for the least restrictive alternative. In this context, the PMRC demands are the equivalent of treating dandruff by decapitation. Imposed rating will stigmatize them as individuals. How long before composers and performers are told to wear a festive little PMRC armband with their scarlet letter on it? Bad facts make bad law, and people who write bad laws are, in my opinion, more dangerous than songwriters who celebrate sexuality. Freedom of speech, freedom of religious thought, and the right to due process for composers, performers, and retailers are imperiled if the PMRC and the major labels consummate this nasty bargain. Are we expected to give up Article 1 so the big guys can collect an extra dollar on every blank tape and 10 to 25% on tape recorders? What's going on here? Do we get the vote on this tax?
Take a look. This is Shannon who says, hi, I'm 14, and I grew up listening to rock music. Recently, I've been obsessed with the rock band. Some of their songs have some strange lyrics. Now, my dad is telling me that I should second-guess listening to their music. I love Christian music, too, but I find myself not letting go of my rock music because that's what I was born listening to. So can I listen to both rock and Christian music? Please help.
It depends on what rock you're listening to. I mean, some of the stuff is just evil. They used to talk about kill your parents, and there were just some evil things, and they were odes to Satan. And so you don't want that stuff coming into your mind. There's some beat that's out there that, you know, probably isn't all that bad. Although in one Indian context, they were playing rock music, and the person said, why are you calling on the demons? Because that was the kind of music they used to you know, summon demons. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, again, the evil in the world is so pervasive that we just need to stay in prayer. We need to stay in the Word of God, and we need to have fellowship with one another. But the truth is, if we don't have any relation with that, we'll have to go out of the world. And you know, it's just, you know, Paul said, I've got to eat with people who are idolaters, and if I don't, then I'll have to leave the world. So, you know, that's the way we live. So the Lord understands that. All right.
Whose Buying was getting ready to come out, we had been told that we were going to get a sticker on our record. And we voluntarily put the sticker on our record. And it was because of some of the lyrics on the record that Tipper Gore didn't like. And by the time that the second record came out, which was our third record, the first one didn't get stickered. The third record, So Far So Good So What, which was the second one to get stickered, by the time that came out, I'd already written a song called Hook and Mouth, because I was really pretty pissed off that this vice president's wife would be telling us what we need to listen to. And besides, she's a Democrat. I can't even understand somebody who's supposed to be championing liberties for a democracy, and somebody who's supposed to be on the more liberal side of politics would want to tell us what we can listen to. Frankly, I think that it was really a terrible period in music business, and I'm glad that the PMRC is gone.
does all the things that she tells us not to do. Selling filth from a corner shop and knitting patterns to the high street queue. She paints roses, even makes them smell good. And then she draws titties on the
concrete
wall. Drowns kittens just to get a thrill and writes sermons in the Sunday Chronicle. Stupidity, Mary Long. Mary told Johnny not to write such trash and said it was a waste of public money. She made a fuss, they made apologies, but everybody thought the show was funny. When the nation knew you'd have children, it came as such a surprise. We really didn't know you'd had it in you. How you did it, we can only surmise. How did you lose your virginity, Mary Long? When will you lose your stupidity,
PMRC, I like the McCarthy era in America. People are scared of them. But what nobody seems to realise is that if you wouldn't be scared of them, they couldn't do anything.
Paulus.
Do you realise that, for Christ's sake? How can radio stations broadcasting across the country be scared of a bunch of assholes like the PMRC? And what do you really think they're going to stop? They tried to stop Elvis Presley from every pulpit in America. They burned Beatles records in public in Alabama in the 60s because John Lennon said that they were more popular than Jesus. The fact that it was true had nothing to do with it. But it was only because people would do it that they could pick up that shit and burn it. You understand?
Nobody was frightened of them.
In Hollywood, in the 50s, McCarthy... Red's under the bed, you know, and better dead than red and all of that shit. People in Hollywood were informing on each other, friends. right? Putting somebody else in the fucking hot seat, because they wouldn't be, and saying, I'm not a communist. But the motherfucker couldn't have done a damn thing, man. Everybody would not have been running around shit scared of him. And I think it's disgraceful. I mean, I hate to say that England is ever better than America, because usually it isn't, you know, but in that case it is. These people would get laughed off the face of the fucking earth in England. I can't understand
it. They wouldn't last 2 days in England.
I cannot understand it. I just don't believe that anybody could attach any importance to what a bunch of shitheads like that have to say about anything.
Ozzy Osbourne released his third studio album entitled Bark at the Moon. Guitarist Jake E. Lee replaced the legendary Randy Rhoads, who was killed a year earlier on March 19th, 1982, in yet another tragic plane crash. I tell you, I can write a book about all the deaths in plane crashes and helicopter crashes and whatever crashes like that. The sad thing about this is I remember when Ozzy, when it was heard that Ozzy left Black Sabbath, got fired and was going to put out his first solo album, and I thought nothing of it. I thought, okay, it's not going to be anything special. The release really shocked me, and I remember hearing the Blizzard of Oz album. I heard Randy Rhoads on guitar, and he blew my mind. I thought he was just about the greatest guitar player at that time, and I was a really big fan of Randy Rhoads. And then Diary of a Madman a year later in 1981 was just as amazing as the first album. Both of those albums were legendary albums. I play selections of those albums on the program as much as possible. I'm a big fan of those releases. And it was the saddest news I had heard in all of 1982. But anyway, going back to what we're discussing, the Bark at the Moon album peaked at number 19 on the Billboard album charts, and within several weeks of its release was certified gold, with well over 500,000 copies sold right here in the United States alone. And I remember seeing the Bark at the Moon tour. Man, the memories flood in whenever I think about that. In 1983, they played Madison Square Garden, and their opening band was Motley Crue. And I had seen Motley Crue on television a few months before this. They were playing this thing called the 83 US Festival, and it was something to do with Apple computers. They about blew my mind. I was a big Motley Crue fan, and Shout at the Devil was an excellent album. Unfortunately, I'm not much of a fan of Motley Crue these days, and nothing's going to top that Shout at the Devil album. But going back to Ozzy, at that time, was facing allegations for his song, Suicide Solution, which is from his first album, Blizzard of Oz, which was rumored to have influenced a fan to commit suicide. He was very controversial at that time. There was no such thing as the Osbournes TV show, and Sharon was not on any TV shows either. He was so controversial for biting the heads off bats and doves, and he was labeled by these Christian televangelists like Jimmy Swaggart and Pat Robertson as a devil worshiper. Now, Ozzy's response to these accusations were through a song from that very 1983 album entitled Rock and Roll Rebel. And you know what? To be perfectly honest, these musicians, and yes, they were musicians and artists, were never trying to target kids. They were simply just trying to be performers and artists. And writing a song wanting their fan base to commit suicide is utterly ridiculous. I mean, you have to look at it like this. These teenagers, or young adults, and I was one of them, supported these bands by buying their records, their merchandise, and tickets to go and see their shows. If any of these artists truly wanted them to commit suicide, who would support them? I mean, that's the ultimate question that I always asked back then, and to this day and age, I ask the same question. Those same televangelists called rock and roll music the savage beat, and the legendary Dictators described it best from their 2001 comeback release, DFFD. In 1973, going back a little bit further in time, Deep Purple released Who Do We Think We Are? And sadly, it was the last album featuring singer Ian Gillan and bassist Roger Glover until their return for Perfect Strangers in 1984. Now, the song Mary Long is a perfect tribute to Tipper Gore and the other Washington Wives 12 years before its formation. You know, the interesting thing about Tipper Gore and those other members of the PMRC is their hypocrisy. When I look back at Tipper Gore, she's got this strange history, because while in high school, she was the drummer in this all-girl rock band called the Wildcats, and also played with members of the Grateful Dead. Now, boys and girls, for those of you who don't know who the Grateful Dead were, they were a wild band out of San Francisco who did major drugs and were total hippies and played loud and played rock and roll. And I often wonder if Tipper Gore partook in any of their drug use. And she probably did, because anybody that goes out and criticizes music or arts generally has a lot to hide in their closet. Well, during the British invasion, in March of 1966, even the lovable clean-cut Beatles faced censorship. When John Lennon said, during the height of their popularity, "We're more popular than Jesus now." I don't know if any of you, you know, read about that or lived through it. I don't know. But that statement got them labeled as the devil incarnate. And this was just as they were about to begin another U.S. tour. Now, their music was also being protested by a radio disc jockey, if you can call him that, named Tommy Charles, out of this Alabama radio station. And he said Lennon's comments were absurd and sacrilege. And by August of that very year, he got other radio disc jockeys to start a Ban the Beatles campaign, and they started burning Beatles albums as part of a Beatles bonfire. Get this, this is America we're talking about. Censorship in America. Unfreaking real. Called freedom of speech, for God's sakes. It really aggravates me, and they still do this to this day. Now, we're living in America. Stuff like this should not happen. But closing out this segment, and we ended with somebody that I consider to be a major hero of mine. And I'm talking about legendary guitarist Gary Moore off of his 1989 After the War album. Speak for Yourself is the name of the tune. And this was before Gary Moore went in a blues direction. So continuing on with the next section of music, Neil Young has always been an outspoken proponent for freedom of speech and freedom of expression, and he released his Freedom album on October 2nd, 1989. Rockin' in the Free World. It's one of my favorite tunes off that record, and it's a perfect example of what we're discussing tonight. So take a listen, and we'll be back.
Sleeping in your shoes. There's a war inside. Have a seat.
Thank you. Well, got your new list.
As long as they keep making records like that, we have to keep coming up with new lists.
Yeah. I have something I'd like to say. You know, as a private businessman, I feel a little foolish taking orders from a religious group. To me, it seems, well, un-American somehow.
I understand that, Arthur.
You do?
Well, sure I do. But I think this is really democracy in action. Now, the people I represent deserve the right to speak out, don't they?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I don't think that, you know, one small group of people should have so much power that they can dictate what's on radio or television.
But a small group of people already dictates what gets on the airwaves. Well, you and your program director decide what records to play. That's just two men. And on the television networks, Arthur, a group of people I can count on my fingers decide what type of shows get on the air. And that's for the whole country. Is that right? Well, see, I agree with you. I don't think that a small group should decide for everybody. And that's what we're fighting here.
Well, I see what you're saying, but, boy, that's a confusing question.
It's really very simple, Arthur. Now, if somebody has the right to make a picture, let's say, about some unspeakable bloody horror, which they do make, and just to make money, then I should have the right to say, I don't like that kind of movie. And if they have the right to put that movie in my local theater, well, I should have the right to try and get it out of my local theater.
How are you going to do that?
Well, very reluctantly, we would use the one tool that seems to get any action. Economic boycott.
Oh. Well, what would you do to us if we played some of the songs on that list?
Well, we'd have no choice but to go to your advertisers. But, Arthur, why play any of those records? They're all obscene.
I have one of my disc jockeys, Dr. Johnny Fever. Gave me the lyrics to a song. He wants to know if you'd let him play that song on the air.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion to.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky.
People sharing the
but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one.
Perverted sex themes and actions on stage and off. Hit Parader, August 1984, carried a lead article about the group in which this particular man described some of the band's sexual escapades. He said, the other day we had this one chick in the van and she was hanging over the seat naked, and what follows is a description in detail of varieties of sex acts performed by the girl on band members and vice versa. Language and depictions too obscene and graphic to include. The story was sent to one particular organization by a parent who found her 13-year-old son reading the magazine. This magazine, I want to tell you something, Hit Parader, is a rock magazine that can be bought by children of all ages at places like Walmart, Kmart, the grocery store, and practically any other retail store that sells magazines. The smut business has moved out of the back alleys and the adult bookstores into your family convenience store.
Responsible for the suicide death of two young fans. Guitarist Glenn Tipton was not surprised.
There was no doubt in our mind at all. There was no doubt whatsoever at any point in time.
I accept it.
I just really worry about the other kids out there that experiment with this, you know, because he feels we didn't have enough scientific proof.
We took CBS and Judas Priest all the way. We've completed a trial on a case the expert said would have gotten picked off a long time ago.
You can listen to that music backwards and hear things if you want to. And it would be crazy for us to say you couldn't. But the finding that there was, that the defendants did not intentionally put any subliminal messages on there, I think, is a complete vindication.
The suit claimed that subliminal messages in the Stained Class album and on the song Better By You, Better Than Me drove Raymond Belknap and James Vance to shoot themselves with a sawed-off shotgun in a Nevada playground in December of 1985. Belknap died instantly. Vance lived 3 years before succumbing to complications from the self-inflicted wounds. While Halford admitted that he had once recorded a backward message as an artistic experiment, the band strongly denied the existence of subliminal messages on the album.
The lyrics have never been bad, and there are no subliminal messages. There never have been.
And these cases that are brought against people such as ourselves have a vast background of reasons as to why these things happen, and they're nearly all related to the family environment. Nothing at all to do with the music.
In rejecting the $6.2 million suit, Judge Whitehead agreed that there was credible evidence that the victims had perceived a subliminal message, but that other factors prompted their suicide. The judge did, however, levy a $40,000 sanction against CBS Records for failing to produce the master tapes as evidence.